Hang on now.
Did you take that?
Yeah, this is a new one. So here's the one we were working on. A 90-minute one, this was a shorter one. All right, we're back in business, and wanted to ask you.
Don't sit down.
Who was the toughest pitcher for you to hit?
George Lennon. I told you that.
You told me that already.
I told you that.
Who was the easiest?
Tell you the truth, but there wasn't none of them too easy.
Not easy enough to suit you,
anyway. No, there wasn't easy enough. In order to hit, you got to be comfortable. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now after so long a time, you don't have any problem with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the fortunate ones. I could hit a left hand just as good as I could a right hand. Didn't make a bit of difference.
But I think the beauty of it was, and the answer to it is, you struck out so seldom that you didn't have a terribly bad time with anybody.
No, I didn't.
Whereas a lot of people will go up against some pitchers and strike out all the time, but some other pitchers, they can hit well.
All right. Well, that's old Dirk Leonard. He was tough. But if he ever struck me out, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I just hated to hit at him.
Yeah.
Because he was tough for me to hit at.
What was your greatest thrill in baseball?
Playing in two World Series.
I don't doubt it a bit.
Playing in two World Series. I enjoyed them.
Not only playing in two, but winning two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And two of them, and we won both of them. But that's, you know, a young boy coming up. And this is my version of it. A young boy coming up, the first thing, if he's so inclined and he's got the ability to play baseball, he wants to play professional baseball.
Sure.
Then after you get in professional baseball, the next thing that you want to do is play in the World Series. After so long a time, you want to play in the World Series. And then after you get in the World Series, you get through with it, ain't one thing left now, and that's Cooperstown. You mm-hmm. want to make the Hall of Fame. And you know whether you're good enough or not. Your record and things.
Right.
And after you get in Cooperstown, that's all there is. There isn't anything left. That's the top of the ladder.
Sure. And you did it all.
I did it all. And, yeah. and you know.
You can really take pride in that.
Yeah, well, I do. I'm very proud of it. But you know, everybody has a certain desires and mm-hmm. fancies. They may not tell everybody about it.
But few of them realize all of their ambitions.
That's right.
I mean, you know as well as I that some of the great players never got to a World Series.
That's right.
Yeah, and old Walter Johnson just made it in his
just
last year or two.
Made it by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah.
And a lot of the rest of them never come close.
Yeah.
Good ball player.
It's not easy to do, but let's see if you want to name a kind of all-star American League team from the time when you were playing, starting at first base.
That ain't too hard to do.
Lou?
First base, Lou Gehrig.
Second base.
Charlie Gehringer.
Yeah.
Charlie Gehringer's... Now, Eddie Collins was a good second baseman, and we had a lot of good second basemen.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie Gehringer is the greatest second baseman that I ever played against. When I was hitting with Charlie Gehringer and Hank Greenberg playing first base, mm-hmm. he wasn't no slouch either.
Oh, no.
I tried to hit the left field all the time. I couldn't mm-hmm. hit a ball through there on the ground. Just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Unless it's a line drive.
Yeah.
Ball on the ground,
yeah.
You just dead duck.
All right, besides yourself, at shortstop.
You just toss up. I'll have to come back to that.
All right, third base.
Bob Trainer. By Trainer is the best third baseman.
I'm sure you're right. I was thinking really of the American League where you saw
American League.
But nevertheless, Trainer is stands above everybody in that time.
Yeah. By Trainer is by far there.
Yeah.
But now, those other two fellows is but back to the American League.
I don't right now. It's hard to think of an all.
It's hard.
All real standout.
Real standout.
Jimmy Dykes was a good third baseman, but not world beater.
No, there's a lot of third basemen better than Jimmy.
Red Roth.
Roth.
Pretty fair. Let's get into the 20s and see what we've got to jog our memory. Joe Dugan. You had Rube Lutsky, Sammy Hale.
Mm-mm.
That's not a good crop.
No.
Ossie Bluge.
I rank Bluge.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I rank Bluge the best.
Willie Cam wasn't bad.
No. But Bluge was a better third baseman than Willie Cam.
Yep.
But Willie Cam was good. In the outfield, I'll take Ruth, Ruth Cobb, and Speaker.
Shouldn't go wrong.
And I'm going to tell you, a lot of fellas, it's a toss-up between O'Neill and Bill Dickey, catcher.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I like that. Dickey was good, but O'Neill may be underrated.
Yeah, well, they were both good.
Yeah.
Now, of course, now, a lot of the young ones picked Mickey Cochran.
Yeah.
But Mickey couldn't throw with O'Neill, he couldn't throw with Dickey.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mickey was a good hustler, and he was a little faster than O'Neill. And Bill was pretty fast. Everybody didn't think Dickey was fast, but Bill Dickey could run pretty good.
You know what Travis Jackson told me? He said one time they were in spring training with I believe it was Cleveland. Might not have been. They had somebody that was real fast, Cleveland, the other team did. And they wanted to bet that they had a faster man than anybody the Yankees had. No, I take it back. It wasn't a key. Travis told me the story. But he says, I told him, got some of the Giants around me, and I said, we'll put up Bill Terry and bet that guy. And they all said, Terry? Travis said, yeah. They put up Terry, and before the race was half over, the other guy quit because Terry was just leaving him behind. And I never thought of Terry being that fast at all.
That's right.
He was really fast.
You know, Bill Dickey was a great big long angling.
Yeah.
Well, we had races in spring training and races, you know how boys get around.
Yeah.
So we bet on so and so.
Yeah.
And old Bill was in there, and he was tough to beat.
Here's a shortstop. It's pretty good for you. Joe Cronin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joe Cronin. I'll put Joe in there.
Yeah, I don't think you can do much better.
No.
What about a left-handed pitcher?
Grove.
That's easy.
Grove and Waller Johnson.
Yep.
Grove and Waller Johnson. There are a lot of good ones.
Oh, you know.
A lot of good ones. A lot of good left-handers.
Now, comment on some things that have happened to baseball. You've seen them on TV and maybe in person. I have too. The artificial surfaces.
I don't. Now, as I said a while ago, if a boy can hit, the artificial turf is fine for him, but it's rough fielding.
Oh, yes.
It's rough fielding.
Both on the infield where the balls go by.
That's right. Or go by.
In the outfield, if it's going to land in front of you, you got to stay away to help back.
You got to play way back here.
Or it's over your head.
Yeah, it's over your head. It takes a lot away from the game. But the only thing about it, you got a nice, smooth surface all the time to play on.
And you don't get rained out.
Get rained out too much.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
Night ball.
I don't like night ball.
Same thing.
It's
the owner's advantage.
Oh, yeah.
You get the crowd.
I never played night ball. Never played a night ball game in my life.
Yeah, several of my
And, you know, I scouted 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lived for Cleveland and one for the Mets, New York Mets, yeah. The first year. And at night, got to where that I couldn't see the ball.
Yeah.
How in the world I scouted the minor leagues, understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see how in the world of a little fella, they play $100,000 for a ball play and put him out there, you have to strike a match to see if the lights was on. And how that
I agree thoroughly.
And they judge those little fellas.
And it makes their sleeping hours very
unnormal.
It
changes everything.
Yeah.
And everything.
What do you think of all of the new baseball stadiums that have been built?
Well,
comparing them to the
old timers,
the new ones are almost all very similar in. Dimensions.
That's right. Dimensions all the same.
Even sort of seating capacity, and they've got their advantages. There's no question about
That's
it.
That's right.
But
and they try to build them compact, so the people in the stand can get closer to the ball player.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think they do. I really don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do either.
Because they build them for football as well as baseball.
For football, yeah, they're set way back up beyond
you. Yeah.
And
you can't get them any closer than they are in Fenway.
No.
And Tiger Stadium, White Sox Park, and Wrigley Field. And those are the four old parks that are left. Yankee Stadium is the next one.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, they got so much money invested now. Of course, the very few individually owned.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any beside the Cubs? The Wrigley's on that.
Well, no longer. See, the Chicago
Tribune. They've sold it,
haven't they? Yeah, Chicago Tribune Corporation.
That's
now
right.
On
that's,
the
right. That's right.
They're awfully few. I guess Steinbrenner owns the Yankees, which is...
I don't think he owns the ground.
Well, that's true.
He don't own the
stand. He does not. That's right.
No.
Yeah.
He don't own the stand.
No.
I tell you, the Knights of Columbus used to own it.
It's changed hands two or three times.
Uh-huh, I know it has.
CBS owned it at one time.
Yeah, you're right.
I've forgotten now.
You know, when I was there, old Colonel Rupert owned it.
Yeah.
And then when he died, they had to sell that, you know, to pay his inheritance tax.
Mm-hmm.
Part of his inheritance tax.
So, what's your feeling about free agency?
I don't like it one bit.
I don't either.
You know, when they did away with the reserve clause, and Miss Earle will tell you, Luke will tell you, boy, I told him, I said, that's the beginning of the end of baseball.
May very well be right.
Yeah.
It's certainly not done it any good up to this point.
That's right. I don't, I'm ashamed to say it, but it don't look to me like there's any loyalty, no regards at all for the fellow man in baseball now.
No.
And in fact, all they're looking for, they got them an agent and they're holding that big money. I don't blame the boys. I blame the club owners.
That's right.
Nobody but the club owners. And I don't blame the boys for taking it. And some of them boys, especially the black boys, and a lot of them, they just don't play for Oshkosh as Podunk. They don't care who they play for.
Yeah.
Fans don't mean nothing.
Nope.
They're not loyal at all.
No. Neither to their teammates nor the owners.
Teammates, they
don't
care. That's right.
Yeah, it's a different thing. What about relief specialists? They were just coming in when you finished. Marbury and Wilson Moore and Johnny Murphy.
You know, the first of Marbury, Fred Marbury was the first relief pitcher that I ever was. He was classified as relief pitcher.
That's right.
And everybody just marveled at old Fred being relief pitcher. And he was a big, strong fellow, can get the ball over the plate with good stuff on it. And it's changed the game, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
It changed it altogether. Now, you know, you take some of these pitchers and all they want to pitch is Just 5 innings, five and a half innings.
To get the win.
Yeah, and then they keep looking at the manager, and if the manager just crooks his finger, they run out of there. Yeah. They're trying to get out of there.
Glenn Wright says, not about the pitchers, but Glenn says, boy, nowadays, he said, in the old days, we played no matter how bad we were hurt. He says, when I was in the minors at Kansas City, I got spiked around second base. It wasn't intentional. And there was real good wound there, and it was open. There were two lips to the wound. Trainer came out and poured a bottle of iodine on it, took a safety pin, pinned it together, and when the game was over, they took me over to the hospital and put a bunch of stitches in it.
That's right.
Now if they get a hangnail, they won't play.
The hangnail, they're out of there for a week.
Indefinite. Might go on the disabled list.
Disabled. Did I tell you about you're talking about being hurt?
No.
You're talking about my consecutive games.
Mm-hmm.
I played in 460-something consecutive games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing the St. Louis, we were playing the St. Louis Browns in Cleveland.
Oh.
And I hit a ball down to first base, and Elam, the pitcher, come across the cover.
Van Gill
will come across. And I beat him to the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped on my heel with his front spike and just brought right at my heel string and just come down.
Oh.
Just come down. And they took 4 stitches in it.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, I couldn't walk. I missed that ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on that thing. We soaked it in Epsom salt water. And I went out the next day, cut my shoe and played 1,107 ball games.
You would have had almost 1,600.
1,600.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But now,
coming back the next day.
I played. I must have played a month. I don't know, several weeks,
mm-hmm.
with that shoe all cut up back then. But I played.
No way would they do it today.
And I got a pair of shoes in Cooperstown that Miss Sewell dug them up here. They were felt line. You know, when I first started playing ball, we used to block the plate. You see them infielders now, you see them jumping and diving and dipping in. All right. Sure, we'd block the plate on them. And wore them felt line shoes to keep them cutting your feet. Cut your shoe.
Sure.
And we had a little pad to come over your shin guard, come up to your knee right here, and under a little rubber band around here, and a rubber band like your socks on your and pull it up over your shin. That protected your shin.
They don't use that now.
Yeah. We use that.
But do they use it now?
Oh, no. No,
yeah, I didn't think so.
No.
They just jump out of the way.
They dive and dip and dive. But we did. I discarded mine about, I reckon, 21, two, because I perspired a lot. And my perspiration run down, and then felt lined to get ready to like clodhopper.
Sure.
I just had to discard.
Soggy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why are there so many fewer big stars in baseball?
You can check your high schools, check your colleges. You know, the only source of supply that the colleges have got is your high school. And the only source of supply that the major leagues have got is your colleges and your legions and your semi-pro and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the boys don't play ball. No. Just like we was talking in the beginning, every crossroads had a team, and you played ball.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. They got them a car, and they're going to the beaches.
Yeah. Or there's also another aspect, I think. They play more other sports than they did in those days.
Yeah,
baseball was the sport.
That was it.
In our day.
When I went to the University of Alabama, football was the second line. We used to have tremendous crowds for baseball.
Yeah.
Well, we used to beat everybody.
Yeah.
We had a good club.
Yeah.
But now all those good balls, good athlete in Birmingham, a good athlete in Tuscaloosa, they play in high school, they play at least 2 ways, maybe 3 ways, basketball and football.
Football.
Get on, Rusty.
Yeah.
And but And then if he's a good football player, they take him out there and play football. And they won't let him play baseball.
They won't let him. I know. What did baseball mean to those of you who were players in your days?
Sure, that was top of the ladder. That was great.
Right. That was it.
Great.
And you played more for the love of the game.
Love of the game.
Yeah. You weren't playing, doing all that playing and putting up with everything you put up with just for the few thousand bucks you got.
That's right.
Yeah.
When I signed the contract with New Orleans, you know what I asked for a bonus? Nothing. When I got through signing, you know what the fella gave me? $300. He said, here, said, take this money and go buy you some clothes.
Uh-huh.
I had a little old seal sucker suit on, little old straw hat. Get on, Rusty. And I didn't ask for no bonus.
Mm-hmm. No, in those days you didn't
expect
it.
I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
Wanted to play.
Anything
that reason I said a while ago, loyalty don't mean nothing.
It's gone. Can you think of, you've told me some, but do you think of any other amusing or very unusual plays or incidents or something that was funny or out of the ordinary? You don't have to, because trying to pull up one right on the spur of the moment is not easy.
You want to hear a good story on Sleet Jolly?
Yeah, I sure do.
You know, I was talking a while ago.
Yeah.
This is funny to me right now. It happened 50 years ago. When old Smeed, as I said, he just hit for exercise, mm-hmm. But he couldn't hit my ball up in the ditch. So Jimmy Dykes was managing the White Sox, and old Smeed was with the White Sox.
Yeah.
So in the Cleveland ballpark, they had a great big cement wall in right field in old League Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Sox came in there. And Jimmy Dykes, as I say, was managing. So he put old Smeed up out there in right field against that cement wall already, so he couldn't hurt himself. Nobody else. So old Smeed was standing out there. And it come up a little bit of shower of rain that day.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough to put the tarpaulin on the call of the game, but just enough to get the grass wet. And you fellas, you know, if you ever scooted rocks on water, you know how they pick up speed.
Right.
Glenn Mott hit that ball that day, and it was a line drive right straight at Smeed. He didn't have to move, not a bit high on that case right there. He just bow, and it hit the ground. It's funny to me right now. So that ball hit the ground. I said,
mm-hmm.
And before Smeed could get out, it went between his legs. You see, that was error number one.
Yeah.
He made three errors on that ball, and I saw it come out and ripped it, believe it or not, twice. It's been in there, and I saw it.
Yes.
So that was error number one, you see. Then Smeed turned around, and he took out after it going back towards the cement wall, and it was hit hard, and it hit that cement wall and bounded right back to Smeed and went back to his leg. That was error number two.
Yes.
Well, by that time, we boys was all out of the dugout, just screaming and hollering at old Smeed. He was laughing too, you know.
Yeah, you have to.
And he was running along. His ball was coming back towards he was running along like a fella trying to catch a rabbit.
Yeah.
Just grabbing at that ball. He could catch it. And so he ran that ball all the way, nearly back to the infield. By that time, Glenn Miller done round his second base on the way to third.
Yeah, sure.
While the old Smeed
gets hold of it.
He caught up that ball, and he braced himself. I never, and he cut out, and he threw that ball 15 rolls up in the stand.
Oh, brother.
Well, the stand was screaming and hollering at Smeed. So he took his cap off, and he kept stretching. He stretched. You could hear him all the stage.
Yeah.
He says, my God, I didn't know I could throw a ball that far. That's funny to me right now.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know, we had a lot of fun. They don't have that kind of fun in baseball.
No, it's all business. And
but old Smeed had a lot.
Yeah.
But I saw that as Ripley's, believe it or not, twice. And I saw the play. I saw the play.
That's great.
That's one of the funniest things that ever happened.
Oh, it has to be, yeah. I saw on TV once, I didn't see the game. Harmon Killebrew was playing third base against the White Sox. And it was almost as bad as that. He came in on a runner was on third, and the batter swung at a ball and topped it, and it just dribbled down towards third base. And he came racing in, fumbled the ball, then picked it up, threw it past the catcher. That is, the catcher almost blocked it, but couldn't. So it goes past him, and the catcher got knocked down, and the batter was going around all this time. So Harmon races past the catcher. The guy was coming around third, and he picks the ball up, throws it past the catcher again. The guy scored.
I got a rule that's in the rule book right now I had put in there. Did I ever tell you that?
No. What was it?
Lou Fonseca and myself was on the Cleveland Ball Club together. Mm-hmm. And old Lou was a good right-hand hitter.
That's really
led the American League one year.
Mm-hmm.
But Lou had that little old trick bunt, you know, he signed up to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when I went to the Yankees, I was playing third base. And in order to protect yourself and keep make Lou hit, yeah. So he'd bark a shin, your third baseman had to play up close like an infield, you see, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Until you got two strikes on him, then move back.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie Ruffin was pitching on this day in New York, and we got one strike on Fonseca.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved back just one step. I didn't know he was looking at me, but he was cutting him eyes down. I moved back just one step. And as I did, he dropped that ball down, you see. And the ball was rolling right along on the inside of the foul line, about like that.
Yeah.
And it had good momentum on it. Bill Dickey was catching, so he was coming down. After he couldn't catch up with the ball. And I knew I couldn't throw Fonseca out.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruffin come across there. And just as Ruffin started to pick up the ball, ball was still rolling, you see.
Yeah.
I hollered, "Let it roll."
Mm-hmm.
All right. Charlie raised back up. And I got out in front of that ball with my front spike. With a 45-degree angle, I scratched a trench across that foul line,
and
the ball hit that trench, and it run out. Just and as soon as it got out, I grabbed it to see.
Yeah, sure.
Old Bill Dineen was umpiring, and he hollered, "Foul ball!" Fonseca was over first base.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie Bush was managing the club, mm-hmm. White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they charged old Bill up there. You never heard such a commotion.
I can imagine.
I never said a word. I just laughed it over. I put my glove on.
Yeah.
All right. They made him come back, mm-hmm. and Charlie Ruffin cut out on and struck him out. That was the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
He threw his bat way up in there, and mm-hmm. he come down right behind Bill Dineen, and Bill Dickey had to run from it and hadn't hit them. It didn't. Bill turned to me at third base, and he just cussed me for everything. I mean, Fonseca did.
Yeah.
For everything in the book. Well, I never did say a word. I just laughed. Mm-hmm. At it. So that's all that happened that day. Mr. Harris was the president of the American League.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, we was all out taking hitting practice. And old Bill Dineen come out early. So I heard him come out there and call for me. I was sitting down on the end of the bench down there hitting practice. He said, "Where's Joe? Where's Joe Sewer?" I didn't say a word. Somebody told him I was sitting down there. So he steps out and called me and says, "Hey, Joe, come here." So I got up and walked back. I said, "Bill, what in the heaven world have I done now?" He says, "It ain't what you did today. It's what you did yesterday."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What was that?" He said, "You know that canyon that you dug down there yesterday and let that ball roll out?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "That's against the rules today."
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened, he called Mr. Harridge, and they made a temporary rule of it that winter, that summer. Mm-hmm. And that winter, when the rules committee met, they put that in the rule book. It's in the rule book right now. There was a boy, somebody bunted the ball last year or the year before, mm-hmm. but I saw him trying to blow it out.
Yeah. I think I've seen that too. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But You can't do anything to obstruct the direction of the ball. But now, that rule, I had that rule put in the book.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
That was about way back in the 30s, yeah. Early 30s.
What do you think about the sort of campaign or the pressure that some TV people, anyway, put on to have the umpire second guest on close plays?
I don't like it a bit.
No, I don't
like it a bit. I played 16 years in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I was never thrown out of a ball game in my life.
That's almost a record, too.
I never thrown out. But now I kicked, mm-hmm. but I never cussed an umpire.
Yeah.
And I never fussed at an umpire, never even protested. If I thought he even tied, but if I beat him,
mm-hmm.
I'd protest.
Yep.
But on yesterday, I never would protest.
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't no need.
So, no.
And I always figure this way, that those umpires, they're loyal and they're honest and they're doing the best day's work that they can do.
And sometimes it's harder than the Dickens to
That's right. And just think of the decisions they have to make during the day.
Yeah. That's right.
But
I get credit. I see recently that some umpire nationally, I don't remember who he was, stopped the game and made him quit in Mets Shea Stadium, showing replays of close plays, steals of seconds and other things. They were showing them on the immense scoreboard out there in center field.
I don't like that a bit.
No, he made them stop it. No more of that.
I don't like that a bit.
I don't know whether they can make it stand up.
That's right.
He stopped them that day.
I would watch our television in yonder.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll run a play, run back sometime.
Oh,
two, three times.
All different angles.
Yeah,
got different
cameras,
angles. And slow motion.
Slow motion.
Umpire doesn't get you.